Well, hi again. This is Bob Brundage, continuing our little oral history project. The date today is January 27th, 1997, our first interview in 97, and we're pleased today to be meeting with Marshall Flippo from down Texas way, and he's here to call a dance tonight at the hall next door. And so, Flip, why don't you tell us what life was like before square dancing and where you're born and brought up and so forth. Go right ahead.
All right, I was born in Tuscola, Texas. That's 17 miles south of Abilene.
Okay.
I moved to Abilene when I was two. And grew up there and went to Wiley, Texas to school, to grammar school and to high school. And went into the Navy when I was 17.
Uh-huh.
Spent 4 years there during World War II. And the guy in the Navy started running a bread rack, a Maid's Bakery in Abilene.
All right.
And started classes with Betty Casey.
Oh, yeah.
In 1951.
Okay.
And in fact, I just heard from Betty just yesterday.
Uh-huh.
The guy said that he knew her. She's 81 years old now.
Who is she?
And down in Kerrville.
Well, somebody told me she's one that I want to interview, so I'll ask you about that later.
Okay. And we had 10 lessons when, you know, in 51 square dancing was really flourishing. We had doctors and lawyers and everybody else seemed like were square dancing at that time. We belonged to a club in Abilene. It had about 25 squares in it. And we also joined a club out at Wiley, Texas, and we danced in a chicken coop out there.
Okay.
Ed Mays' farm, an old chicken coop, and he cleaned it all up. It was a concrete floor. It only held 3 squares.
Uh-huh.
And we danced to call records. At that time, there was not too many call records, you know. And
sure.
Joe Lewis and some Les Gocher and some Jonesy. And so there's us. There's, we had 3 squires of members. And so we kind of got tired of dancing to canned records. So us 12 guys decided to we'd learn one call a piece.
There you go.
And that's the way I kind of got started calling the latter part of 51. And I remember the first call I learned was Dip and Dive.
All right.
And it was just all strictly memory. If they went down, I had no way of getting them back, you know.
Right.
But and then I called I kind of quit square dancing through the summertime. I play baseball. And then back in the wintertime, we'd start square dancing.
Okay.
Then we rented the hall down in Abilene called the Hayloft. It was upstairs above a garage and hold about 13 squares. We had live music at that time. At that time, we Melton Luttrell had moved from Eastman to Fort Worth, and he had a real good band over out of Cisco. And so we took the band after he had moved to Fort Worth, we used it over to Abilene. So we used to call it live music in those days, and you know, in the mid and late 50s.
Sure.
57, I went on a vacation. We went on a vacation to Kirkwood Lodge. Greyhound bus driver told us about the place. He used to take high school seniors over there for their senior trips, and he knew they had square dancing there, and he was a square dancer out of Wichita Falls, and he drove a Greyhound bus, and he talked us into going to Kirkwood Lodge, and that was in 57.
Okay.
Also in 57, I started recording for Blue Star Records. Norman Burbach was a producer. And in We went 3 years to Kirkwood. In 1960, Bill Hagedorn, the original owner of Kirkwood, asked me if I'd come back as a staff caller. And probably one of the best bosses I ever had.
Yeah.
And one of the best friends I ever had. And, I would say him and Bill Hagedorn and Norman Verbach, any success I ever got or ever have had, they started it off for me. They were really kind to me.
That's great.
Then, I don't know, stayed at Kirkwood. I've been there 37 years now.
Is that right? Yeah.
Pat Munn and I owned it. We started in 73 and we owned it till 93. And Bill Hagedorn had it. I worked for him for 13 years. And Pat and I had it for 20. And a fellow by the name of Bob Link has it now, and I've been working for him for 4 years.
Okay.
So it's a great square dance resort. We have really enjoyed it.
You still spend all summer there?
All summer there, and Sharon, my wife, now she's working in the office there, so we're
got to put
go
you
there
to
in the summertime,
Got to put you to work, Sharon. Huh?
Yeah. So we stay there 6 months, and then we travel the other.
Oh, is it 6 months? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's probably more home than Texas is to us.
Okay.
We live in Canyon. Up in North Texas by Amarillo. And we go by and see the furniture once
a year. Yeah. Well, that's where you travel all winter, then, don't you?
Yeah, most of the time. We take off from Kirkwood when it closes in the middle of October. And we go up north, up through Iowa and Minnesota and Wisconsin and over into Illinois. And back into Wisconsin and over into Illinois again and then up into Michigan and kind of all states from there on, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Pennsylvania, all up into New Jersey and Maryland.
You don't get into New England very much?
No, I used to go there a long time. Went there for years and years, and then I haven't been there. At one time, we'd stay in Michigan one winter, and I'd kind of skip New England.
Uh-huh.
And then the next year, I'd go to New England, kind of skip Michigan. Right. So we got it figured out where I wouldn't have to travel so far if I just went to Michigan every year. So that's what I did.
Okay.
And but I enjoyed it up there. I met some really super folks up there. Earl Johnston, Al Brundage, and old John Hendren's up in there now.
Yeah.
I knew him before he moved up in there, but he's been there a long time.
Well, he came from out this way somewhere, didn't he?
He came from Illinois.
Not this point. Not Albuquerque, but
yeah.
Right. No, I talked to him back a few months ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
I haven't seen him. I bet I hadn't seen him in 10 or 12 years.
He's the same John.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really is. He's one of the guys that is using quite a limited tempo with his calling. He tells me he calls everything at 119 beats a minute.
Somebody told me that. That's hard for me to believe because the last time I danced to John, he was going like 130, 132. I mean, moving on.
Well, when he and I were together at Grand Lake Lodge, I got some tapes, and we always thought they must have stretched or something because they're tough. They're 142.
Oh, man, I mean, fast.
But I've always been slow tempo, of course. And I'm the same way on the damn tapes. Of course, it's a weekend situation, but be those as may. But John is really a great caller. Well, tell us about how about some of the national conventions. You've been to several of them, probably.
Yeah, I've been to several of them. I probably maybe 12.
You remember any big ones?
I remember probably one of the best ones I went to was the first time in San Antonio. I thought that was the best one I've ever been to.
Yeah.
That was the first time they had it. I don't know what year that was. But, then I thought New Orleans had a good one the time I went over there. But there's been Mr. Dern many. Of course, the ones I think that are all under one roof is
yeah.
I remember a couple at Cobo Hall in Detroit were great.
Yeah, they claimed they had, 700 squares, they said. When they opened up the whole thing.
Absolutely. It was just unbelievable to all those people dancing.
Yeah. Do you remember the cartoon that Frank Grundeen put on the back of Setzenauer just after Cobo Hall? And down at the... see a guy standing on the chair way down at the end of the hall, and the little figures up on the stage were about this big. And the guy is saying, I think it's either Les Gocher or Ed Gilmore.
Couldn't see that far. That's right. That's right.
But,
well, that's a, you know, if they couldn't tell by those two voices, they're in deep trouble, you know.
Right. But, well, getting back for a minute, who are some of the people that had an influence on your career outside of Murbach
and
Hagedorn? I mean, how about some of the other callers and like that?
Frank Lane.
Yeah.
I'd have to say Frank Lane, Bob Osgood.
Sure.
Al Brundage.
I'll say Al who?
Yeah, Al who. Worked quite a few years with Al in Atlantic City and also West Point. Just enjoyed every one of the years.
Yeah.
Just,
that West Point was quite an experience.
Then Washington Spring Festival in Washington, D.C. Meant quite a bit to me because I was surprised at how many dates I picked up just the first year I was there.
Yeah. Well, they had a big staff there, didn't they?
Absolutely. Yeah, they had. I think 9 to 12.
Yeah.
Bunch of guys.
Yeah.
Of course, Kirkwood's meant so much to me, and let's see, I don't want to leave him back out here. Of course, Betty Casey, she kind of got me, and Melton Lucker,
okay.
You came in there. Betty Casey and Melton Luckel, they...
Well, they were the early days.
Yeah, early days. In fact, Melton, first time he heard me call, I couldn't call on Beat Saving
Day. Is that right?
He said it felt like when he was dancing, he was just dancing on a railroad track, skipping every other tie or something.
Right.
But then Joel Wilson and Abilene, great caller, still calling 20 basics, never has went any higher than that, and still busy. He's up in his 80s now.
Yeah.
What terrific rhythm the guy got.
All right.
He had a lot of rhythm.
Well, I talked with Jerry Helt, and of course, he works a very limited program all the time.
Right.
And he's busy as anybody. When I talked to him in Cincinnati, I think he said he was currently averaging about 12 dances a week.
Uh-huh. Morning, afternoon, night.
Right.
I call him that hall where that he uses there once a year. I call there.
That right. And
Covington, right out of it.
Yeah. So, well, how about Caller Lab? Now, you've been associated with that.
Yeah. All those guys that first started that thing, really, I was impressed with all those guys.
Sure.
I don't know how I got in that bunch, but it was just one of those things that happened, I guess, in an activity that you're in that only happens one time, but you get those.
Yeah.
That kind of talent all together. Probably hasn't come out the way I envisioned it might come out, but at least we got them all together some way or the other.
Yeah. got everybody talking.
I think it's still got a good potential to do good things.
How about a Selamar?
Selamar was, I guess.
Were you on staff there for a while?
I've been on the staff there, I think it's since 62.
Is that right?
And still there was Frank, but Osgood had it, Daryl.
Sure.
Becky and Osgood, Bob and Becky were so good to me. It's remained my very favorite place to go.
Uh-huh.
Still is. We don't have the weekend anymore. We don't have the week. But,
yeah.
And Frank and Aaron are still there, and the Bucks do the rounds.
Yeah.
But I worked with some really good, we started out with Frank Hamilton, really good round dance folks. Willie Bonnie Stoller. Then, of course, Charlie Proctor for years, and then the Bucks have been over the last few years. So I've worked, we've been really fortunate to have really, really good rounds.
How about Jim and Jenny Brooks?
No, I never did work with them.
Yeah, there before you got there, probably, yeah. But, well, that's great. Getting away from square dancing, how about other hobbies? Do you have any other hobbies? You don't have
any. Well, I played golf until about 4 years ago. And I don't know. You know of any hobbies I got? Water skiing and boating.
Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah.
Water sports.
Yeah, that's great. I've been asking everybody, Marshall, about what do you think is the appeal to calling square dances? What do you find appealing about it?
God, that's a good question. I really believe the appeal is for me is to see people having a good time, and I'm part of it. It's just one of those joyful occasions where you every night you go and it seems like if you can get people to have fun, you have fun.
Yeah.
And that's the appeal of it to me. I don't know. I could say getting them through difficult figures or something like that could be an appeal, but I believe it's just
having
the fun of the whole thing.
That's great. Okay. You mentioned Blue Star a little while ago. Let's go back and think about your recording experiences.
Yeah. Well, I got a couple of gold records from Blue Star. I spent 27 years with them.
Did you really?
From Burbank in Nadine. The best one I have, the most, that I guess the biggest one I ever had was the Auctioneer. That's the first one I recorded.
Yeah.
And those first two or three years, starting in 58, those first few years were all on 78.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many singles we had the last time I took anything. It was 180 or something singles on Blue Star. But and I'm not too sure, but it seemed like we got more than that, but I don't.
Yeah.
I never did. Should have kept track of them, or kept. I wished I'd have kept one of each, but I didn't.
I know. Right.
And
Al's the same way. I'm the same way.
I think around 24, 25 LPs.
Now, are they mostly with sets in order, or?
No, they were with the Blue Star, and then I had some with sets in order, too.
Yeah, the promotion records.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then I don't know how many I recorded on the Chaparral since we started.
Chaparral, yeah. You haven't gotten into the business yourself, though.
No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what to do if I got
it. Yeah. So, all right, how about... other forms of square dancing, like contras and country western?
I like contras. I don't ever call them, but I like to dance them very much. And also round dances.
Did you ever teach rounds?
No. Well, I taught a couple, way back in the 50s, a couple of what we call couple dances.
Yeah, right. Well, you had to at that time.
Right.
There weren't any round dance cures.
Right. Yeah. And I haven't. Quadrilles I enjoy.
Yeah.
I don't call them. I've danced them. I love the way you dance them to music.
Right. Okay. Never got into country western line dances or anything like that?
Not so much. We started teaching when we first went to Kirkwood. We have, at that time, we had 10 weeks of regular tourists who didn't know anything about square dancing.
Different group every week or something?
A different group every week, different folks. And they'd come in for 7 nights. And four of those nights, they danced at Kirkwood. And we'd do real easy squares for them.
Yeah.
And we'd also play ballroom dancing and western, country western dancing. And we'd teach line dances like back there was Amos Moses. And, Hully Gully. And, those type of.
Yeah. That was before the Macarena.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never got into clogging now, did you?
Never did, no.
And I'd like to watch it.
Yeah, but I couldn't.
It ain't for me. My knees aren't that good. Okay. A lot of people are talking about costuming, Marshall. Some people are thinking these elaborate costumes that people wear are keeping people away from square dancing. Now, how do you have any thoughts along that line?
I really don't. I think the costume, as long as they've got, you know, good taste, prairie skirts and longer dresses are fine. And also, I like the regular square dance attire.
Yeah.
I don't see that as I see a lot of people, and I've been with a lot of people, go to a restaurant after or something, and they're a little intimidating about people looking at their costumes or laughing about them or whatever.
Right.
I don't think it has anything to do with that.
What's your home? Well, you really don't have a home program, per se.
No,
you don't have a
no.
home club anymore. Do you have any ideas for what we could do for recruiting these days? As you know, recruiting has gone down the tubes along with everything else. But
I just don't know. It seems like a lot of people that I've talked to have tried everything in the world. I think if we could get some national publicity, like the line dances or country western has gotten, I think that would help. But it would be very hard to it'd be very hard to present a program, because people are going to look at it and say that's I can't learn that stuff.
Yeah.
I think they look at country western dancing and line dancing. Well, maybe I can do that.
It looks like it's.
But
plus, you don't need a partner.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
So we just need some. We need some PR some way or the other.
Yeah. You think Carl Ebb might be able to help us with that? Or?
Well, I would hope so. Something. I've always thought if they put as much energy into recruiting as they did into the new material or the list that we've got now. Maybe they'd put that much energy into recruiting, that we'd be a little better off, but who knows.
I was listening to an interview on the TV the other night, and I came up with another question I haven't asked Anybody else yet? Do you have any regrets? Is there anything in your past career experience that you wish you had done differently, or?
Yeah, there is. It seemed like square dance calling didn't come easy. It was hard for me, but I feel like if I'd have worked on it a lot more than I worked on it, I'd have been better off with the fanboat. Yeah. I just really enjoy the fun of it, and probably haven't worked on new material as much as I should. And, I've just really been so pleased that I've been able to work with some of the guys that were really top-notch, and I've stolen material from them and didn't work on it myself, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, that's okay. That's legal. Which reminds me, did you come from a musical background?
No.
No? Not your family or anything like that? Well, you said you couldn't.
Right. I couldn't
stay on the beat when you first started. But I'll tell you, you sure stay on the beat now, Mike.
Well, sometimes when I set that needle back, I have to hunt around for that beat.
So. Is that right? Of course, the new CD type of player coming out now, you're never going to have to set that needle back.
Right.
Or using tape. A lot of callers are using tape these days. You're not.
Yeah.
Tape. But. Well, let's get to the big question. Give us sort of an overview, Marshall. Where do you think square dancing has been, and where are we now, and where do you think it might be going?
I really at one time thought it was just in a down period, but I don't know. The crowds basically, the last 10 years, I've seen about the same amount of dancers on tour as I
have. You really? Yeah. Good.
But the last couple of years, it hadn't been that good. So I don't know whether that's my age or the appeal or whatever. But you find some of them were up, some of them were down.
Yeah.
Some of them were complaining. Some of them say we got some pretty good classes. So I'm just hoping that it's just in a. We went through a thing back in the early 50s when bowling came in.
Yeah.
And when bowling came in, everybody seemed to be bowling.
Yeah.
The hurdle square dancing out the door. And it's kind of the same way the line dances this time around. And I really feel like it's going to start back up. Maybe it's going to. Take something for the economy to do, you know, go down or whatever. But I believe it's just, at one time I thought there's no way for square dancing to falter because there's so many businesses that are making their living on it.
Right.
So many guys, and they're not going to let it die, but now those businesses that I thought would never go under, some of them have retired and, I seem like when Osgood quit sets in order, I think it left a void.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not going to say that it hurt or anything, but it left a void. I think it was more than
oh, sure.
Ever hit.
Right.
Of course, Osgood, to me, Bob Osgood was my... what's his name? Colorado. My Pappy Shuffle.
Okay.
Osgood.
All right.
I just come in on the end of Pappy Shaw, and then, of course, I think Bob Osgood meant so much. And if we'd listened to him, first part of Color Lab, I think we'd have been a lot better off.
Yeah.
A lot of guys didn't want to listen.
Did you ever get to Shaw at school?
Never did, yeah. No.
Colorado Springs?
Betty Casey did, the gal that taught us.
Did she really?
Yeah. She,
do you remember when she went?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
It was before 51, I think.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And you say she's 80-something now?
I think she's 81, that old boy told me yesterday. So that's about right, I would say.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, about 70 years older than me.
Okay. Okay, well, Marshall, I know you've got to go to work here pretty quick. And,
we're pretty close.
Oh, yeah.
We're right, right over there.
Yeah. If you don't have 14 boxes of records with you or something like that.
Yeah. I remember where they built that building out here. There's nothing else out here. That was it.
Is that right? Yeah.
Boy, and as it's grown up. And I bet that property's worth some kind of money.
Yeah, well... Of course, it, you were a big contributor to that. I see your name on the wall there as a as a $100 contributor more than once. And,
well, they seemed like they struggled for a long time, and then they finally got going pretty good.
Yeah.
Kind of like in Tucson, they paid that building off. Bingo, I think.
Is that right?
They did not for bingo.
Huh. Yeah. Well, they're gradually getting into other things. I understand there's an Argentine tango group that meets there now.
Oh, is it right?
And there's a country western group that meets there twice a month.
I see.
And so they're starting to use it for other things.
Have you ever been there when they're using both halves?
Oh, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
No sound coming from the other half that you...
I mean, no, not very
don't
much.
Bother.
Once in a while, because I dance on the small side, round dancing,
uh-huh.
a couple of nights a week, and there's always a square dance going on next door. And once in a while, a caller next door will jack the volume up on his side, and they'll hear it. But once the music comes on the small side, you don't hear it.
Don't bother.
Yeah. So, but that's a great that's a great place. So. Well, Marshall, I think looks like we've pretty well come down to the end of the of our little interview here. And I appreciate you taking the time to sit and chat with us for a while. I know you.
My pleasure, Bob, and I know that, you know, this runs into your life, too. You know, you probably had a golf game or whatever today.
Well, I already played golf, sure, yeah.
I even appreciate you thinking about us to interview. Appreciate
well, golly, you're a... Hall of Famer, you know, and a Milestone Award winner, and all kinds of other
things. Yeah, you know, all that came, too. That it just seemed like, I don't know what it seemed like, but it,